If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the first chapter of the book of Ruth. The first chapter of the book of Ruth. And we're going to begin with the first verse. First chapter of the book of Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, that went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of that man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judea. They came into the country of Moab, and they continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's son, died. Naomi's husband died, and she was left with her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. One was named Orpah, the other was named Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left with left of her two sons and of her husbands. And she arose with her daughters-in-law, and she that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And therefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me and with me and my sons. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of the husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, no, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, should also bear sons, will you tarry for them till they be grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices again, and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. And return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. We want to stop there for just a moment. If correctly read, includes the first down through the 16th verses of the book of Ruth. Our thought will come kind of as a springboard from this scripture that we've read in your hearing, where we find that Ruth made a decision that she was going to follow her mother-in-law into the land of Judah. Now, I don't know what her soul's condition was at this time, because she came from a people and a country, normally enemies of Israel and Judah, that worshiped other gods. So we don't know if maybe in the interim, possibly she found the Lord. But we do know this, that she was willing to go into the land of Judah unto Bethlehem. And you might say, well, we know the rest of the story, but I want you to see how that this mother-to-be, or this woman with a mother's heart, was willing to go into that land, into that country. And you might say, well, what difference does it make? We know that it just was part of the panorama that God had, and God was had in store for them. But think with me for just a moment how that Ruth was counted in the lineage of David. She was the great-grandmother of David. She married a man by the name of Boaz. And from Boaz, there came Obed, if I got that correct. And from Obed, there was a man by the name of Jesse, who is referred to as the root and the offspring. And from Jesse, there was a man that was born by the name of David, unto whom God gave promise and gave this assurance that there shall be one sitting upon thy throne. Thy throne will last and is everlasting to everlasting. And you know who that ancestor that David was and who that final one was that came into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. What if Ruth had not gone? What if she didn't have a mother's heart? What if she had not thought about what difference does it make? I'll just go with Naomi. Maybe somehow it'll all work out. But I think in all of this, she was led of God. And you know, today, whenever that we think of mothers, we often think of those that have given birth. And that's a very important part, because in the day in which that we live, there is a need. There is such a need to remind humanity how precious that life is when it's in the womb, or other. We could name other instances. But you know, some are not having that opportunity to be a mother, but yet they are a mother. And you might say, I don't understand, you know, they're either a mother and they're not a mother. I want to leave this with you. All women are mothers today. And here's the reason why. He gives unto every mother something that we men will never, ever have. Now, we'll have a father's heart, we'll have a brother's heart, but every woman has a mother's heart. Today, every woman today has that capability of being a mother unto somebody who may not have a mother, or who may not know who their mother is. And we find today that it doesn't take bearing children to be a mother, but in a sense, it is from the heart of a woman that they are a mother. When I was in Nashville, I worked down in a ghetto. I mean, as a pharmacist. And I met a lot of people. I want to tell you, you go into the poorer parts of town, you get an education that you don't get from a classroom. There was a nurse that used to work there and work in what they call the indigent hospital. It was a hospital for those people that could not afford medical care in the conventional types of hospitals. And Meharry University, a black medical school, was nearby. So it gave those young people in med school an opportunity to work among those that were poor and destitute. But I remember this nurse that used to work at that hospital, became acquainted with her. She'd bring some of the little children in. These were children that had been born unto mothers that had been addicted, but more specifically, what they call crack babies. Their mothers had been addicted. Now, there was others. There were those that they just found out on the street that had been just born. There were those that they found that were born of prostitutes, that were born of crack babies. But she took care of these little ones, where that the mother came into the hospital, took the time to have the baby, and then off she went and left the baby there. Well, it got to burdening her heart. And she would take those babies home with her. Her house was something else. it was kind of destitute, she tells me, because she had to go from this one to that one. And they had to be on special types of medication and special types of treatment. The girls down there used to tease me about having all boys. And they said, what about having a girl? So they handed me a baby and a little girl. And I could fit her little head right in the palm of my hand. She was about 8 months old. And you know, I held that little child and I prayed, oh God, will you please watch over this child? And others like her. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm any great thing. I don't do this to say, wow, you know, look at what he did. But she told me that they leave these little children. They have nowhere to go. Nobody to take care of them. And she would take care of them. She would foster them and have them in her home until that they could find another home. And I'm saying a home, not an institution, but another home to take care of them. And some of them she adopted herself. She had quite a family. She had quite a family. And you know, I bless people that have that kind of compassion. She didn't have any children of her own, but she was a mother. And I want you to know that down deep in her heart, she had a love towards those children. Most importantly, as a foundation in mother's heart, is love. That's the most important part. Without love today, my friend, it's all in vain. And I want you to know it's not the type of love that Hollywood is spewing out and Netflix and whatever is spewing out of hell today as being love. But I want you to know the Bible says in one place that no greater love hath any man than this, that a man would lay down his life or a woman for their friends. That comes from God. The Bible tells us over in one place in the 5th chapter in the 8th verse of Romans, it says that Christ Jesus gave himself because of the love of God. He gave himself for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. And in the trifold scripture that we find over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 13 and verse 13, Paul in that chapter talking about love does not vaunt itself up, love does not envy us, so on and so forth, defining what God's love is actually, and that we can have that love within us. At the very end of it, he said, now abideth in these, faith, hope, and charity. Charity being love, the love of God. He said, and the greatest of these is what? Love. Yes, charity. That's the most important thing that a mother can have today, and those with the heart of a mother today. Whether it's you care for the neighbor's children over here, and what's going to become of them, or a relative, or this one that you see even walking down the street or walking in a field or wherever the case might be. The Bible tells us that those that have a mother's heart, and it teaches today, those that have a mother's heart today has a foundation, the capability of loving and giving to those that are destitute exactly what they need. What do people need today? They need love. They need the love of God. They need somehow for the Holy Spirit to break through unto them and tell them, you are significant. You are loved. I gave my son for you. And even though you don't have anyone to love you, you've got a God that loves you far greater than you can understand or even comprehend today. Yes. We find that the Bible tells us over in the 16th chapter, 13th verse of the book of Isaiah, it compares a love to a mother's love. How? God's love for us, he says, is likened unto a mother's love. Akin to God's love is a mother's love. He goes on and he talks about that love towards children or love towards one another, but most importantly of all, mothers with a heart to be a mother and a heart of love. Wisdom. I'll tell you, my mother and your mother was to some of the wisest people that ever lived. I can say it about my father also. When I was about 15 or 16 years old, I thought they were about the most ignorant people that ever lived. I turned 20 and I was amazed at how much knowledge that they had accomplished in that day and in that time. My. But they had wisdom today. We might have knowledge, but wisdom is a different thing altogether. And the greatest wisdom comes from God. Did you know that? We find today that the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not only to be fearful of Him as we think of fearful of Him, but to realize that in God today is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has no beginning. He has no end. He's eternal. He can be in all places at the same time. And yet know individually for one person sitting in a congregation how many hair are on his head. And some people will say, well, big deal. I'm about to lose all mine. A friend of mine told me one time that they were kidding him about his hair being gone. And he said, well, that may be the case. But he said, you know, God created great and good people, and then he put hair on the rest. But wisdom is the thing. Solomon, I believe, learned at the very feet of Bathsheba. You might say, Bathsheba? Yes. Because I believe there was a mother there that was attending unto his needs. She knew that he was going to be ruler. She knew that he would be next in line and that he would be probably a critical part of that lineage that would go unto Christ Jesus. We find that the Bible tells us over in Proverbs, the last chapter, many things about wisdom. It tells us that whenever a woman opens her mouth with wisdom, that the teachings of kindness are on her tongue. And that is in the fact of witnessing, counseling, encouraging, guiding. Ladies, you do not realize today how that you can affect the future. And you might say, well, you're just saying that. No. No. Hand that rocks the cradle rocks the nation. That's always been and always will be today. Wisdom is being able to take that knowledge that God has given and be able to expound it unto somebody that does not have wisdom. One day, God led me to preach a sermon kind of based on a Johnny Cash song. If you are a fool, get wisdom. And you might say, what song did Johnny? Well, if you are, you look it up. But if you are a fool, go get wisdom. Find the source of wisdom today. And I don't know how many young people are going to be listening to this, be affected by this whatsoever, but don't turn away the counsel of those that have been around the block or two, because you're going to find in them great wisdom. Oh, that I could hear from my grandmother's lip. My home, my mother was the one that talked theology. We argued in later years till, I don't know, we almost got so mad we just, Paul, you go to a motel. I don't want you in the house. My grandmother knew scripture forward and backward. One day we were sitting at a dinner. We had deviled eggs. We had boiled eggs. And she quoted out of Job, most obscure scripture I'd ever heard. She said, "The white of an egg will have no taste." I turned to Mom and I said, "Is that really in there?" She said, "You better believe it is." And she can quote you some more too. And my dad lived the gospel. And Shirley's dad lived the gospel. And her mother, my friend, read out of the Bible to her and to her children when they were growing up. I want to tell you something today. You have an impact upon people that you don't realize today. You can encourage. You can witness unto them. You can tell them, avoid this, avoid that. Here's the reason why. And I want you to know, young people today, there are those that have a mother's heart. They care about you. They care about how you turn out. They care what you're going to do in life. They care about how that you're going to train, what avenue that you are going to be traveling on. Not only is wisdom upon her lips, as Proverbs said, but we kind of hinted around about this. So are the scriptures. They may call you Bible thumper, but I'd rather hear that as a sound as opposed to the closing of a jail cell. Yeah. I want to tell you, you can be in show. You don't even realize. I talked to one sister that works over at Wheatland at the racetrack, and she's kind of become a mother unto those young people. And they'll come to her, and they'll bring, you know, questions, and they'll bring problems that they're having. And I want to tell you, her advice is godly today because she knows the Lord. And that's where, my friend, I want you to know you can make a difference. Not only is wisdom upon her lips, but also the scriptures. The Bible tells us that Paul wrote his last letter to Timothy before that he was to be executed. That is Paul. And he reminded him, he said, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Where did he hear those scriptures from? Not from his father, because his father at that point in time was a Greek. And if he was truly a Greek head to toe, he was probably quoting Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and so on and so forth to him. But thanks be unto God for Eunice, his grandmother, and for Lois, his mother, because I believe they took little Timothy aside and they would read to him out of the scriptures, or they would remind him. Do you know today, and it's not that you're a Bible thumper, but today you bathe people in the Word of God, and it's going to have an effect upon them later on. It gets into their ears. It gets into their minds, and they remember it today. Tell me if the same thing happens to you. I can hear a song from way back in the past, and that song will surface. And it's like, oh my goodness, I can't get this out of my mind. I got to do something. That's how it is with the scriptures today. Have you ever had scriptures come to you? Boy, I have. I want to tell you, I'm thankful for those times that my grandmother read unto me out of the book of John, in the third chapter, 3rd, 5th, and 7th verses, where that Jesus said unto Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except that a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh or where it goeth." That is the case with everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I could go on and on. Because Grandma read this to me incessantly. And it got in there. But most importantly of all, it got in here. And God used that, plus another one planting, and another one speaking, and another one over here that added to it. You see, It's not all about the preacher up here, but my friend, it's about you taking that word out into the byways and highways and community. And you don't have to stand on Wheatland's corner, street corner. I mean, if God leads you to do it, have at it. Go for it. But I saw a sign one time in a church where that at the exit, it had these words, "Now the real mission work begins." And they quoted in the 26th and 27th and 28th chapters of the book of Matthew, going to all the world. And your world may be Wheatland. Your world may be Hermitage. Your world may be Elkton. Who knows? But go. That was the thing that he said, that Jesus said, go with this message of the gospel that Jesus saves. Do you know, my friend, that's what they need. They all need Jesus. They don't need to kick the Jews out. They don't need to raise a Palestinian flag. What they really need is Jesus today. They need someone to go with the Bible among those tents and ask them, do you have peace in your heart? And evidently, they don't. My friend, I'll tell you something today. The whole world needs Jesus. The whole world needs to be saved. The whole world needs to know what it is to have your sins remitted and have peace with God. That's what salvation is. They need the advice from mothers at heart that if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. They need to be encouraged. Don't go off with so-and-so there. He's a crackhead. Said, well, that's judging. No. If he's got a bong or a pipe with him, it's pretty evident he's a crackhead. And you don't need to be taking up his habit. Go after the crackhead, too. I know I'm kind of getting... Along with this is prayer. We cannot pray enough. Paul said in one place, he said in Thessalonians, he said, pray without ceasing. I know sometimes formally we get down on our knees and we call upon God and everything, but do you know you can have a constant conversation with God, just leave off the amen. Ask God what he thinks about a situation. Ask God what you need to do day by day. Before I get out of bed, it's like, Lord, help me to put one foot in front of the other and get to the task and show me what the tasks are today and show me how to do them. And my friend, I want to tell you something. He does. He might do it through my spouse. He might do it through a friend. But I want you to know, if you pray without ceasing, God is going to answer those prayers. Stevie is an example of that today. Amen. I want to tell you, that's a miracle. That is a miracle done in our midst, friends. And my friend, it's because that we approach the throne of grace. We come in Christ Jesus' name because that we are God's and we have been saved by His grace. And we approach the throne on her behalf and on behalf of others. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James says over one place, and he makes reference unto Elijah of all people. This past Sunday, it talked about Elijah running off and hiding in a cave, but before that, Elijah had prayed that it would not rain in Israel for the space of 3 years and 6 months, and God put a brass tent, if you will, over the skies, and they went into famine. They went without rain for 3 years. And then later, God called upon him and said, Elijah, go up and start praying for rain. And he did, and the rains came. You ever pray for rain? Now, I prayed a tornado wouldn't hit me. But I have prayed for rain because, my friend, I may be a city boy, but I lived enough in the rural that I knew how much moisture was important. Because if there's no moisture, there's no rain, crops don't grow, and there are people that go hungry. And I say, thank God for the farmer today. At any rate, as we close our few remarks, I'm thankful for those that have a mother's heart. I truly am. And that can develop. You can develop that. You might say today, well, I'm afraid to do anything with them. You'd be surprised how many are standing and they're alive and they're wanting something to fill a God-sized hole that they've got. And you might be the answer. You might be Philip with an Ethiopian eunuch. You might be Paul, chained to a guard waiting for his execution. I'll guarantee you Paul talked to that guard about his soul. I'll guarantee you today that in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, that he talked to those philosophers and Stoics and so on and so forth about there is one God whom you worship ignorantly, and I'm here to tell you about him. And God can use you. And you might think today, no, he can't. No, he can use you. You make yourself available to God, he'll use you. He'll touch somebody through you, whether it's your actions, whether it's your deeds, how you handle yourself in deportment, or it's things that you say, people will stand up and take notice. And whenever that the conversation start, like Schwab speaks and people listen. I think that's how it goes. A child of God speaks about the peace they've got in their heart, and people will listen. I want to know about this peace. I want to know peace. I want God to do something for me. So as we close our few remarks today, I want you to know that every woman here, now fathers, I'll get to you later. Don't feel slighted. Don't feel like we've ignored you. You're important too, guys. But unto those women that are here today, you have a mother's heart. You have a Mary Magdalene's heart. I'm not talking about her past. I'm talking about what Jesus did for her. You have others that are written in the scriptures. You have that capability. Use it today. Make yourself available to God. Say, Lord, send me. God bless you. That's all I got. And I want to tell you, that's what God laid on my heart. Now, I'm so comfortable. Whenever I get up here and I get to preaching about the blood, the atonement, the sacrifice, the substitutionary sacrifice, the resurrection. But, oh, this has been hard. Because I just cannot convey enough to you all what God can do and use you for and get glory out of you for. So as we close these three marks, thank you for your kind attention. And there's no tables out there that have room in them. So you can't deposit the sermon on this side as you leave. But carry it in here. Carry it in here. And go in the Word. And make a difference for somebody. As we close. This time, we're going to pass out kind of a commemorative gift to every woman that's here, especially the mothers. But Shirley and I put some bookmarkers out there about mothers and remembering them today. But every lady, take one today. And Brother Dennis, I think, has got something also. For the ladies of this church and for everyone. Are you just going to pass them out as they leave? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. As you leave, make sure that you get a candy bar from Brother Dennis. Now, don't give it to your husband if your husband's here. You can probably give him a piece of it later on if you want to, but do take that. It's sweets for the sweets. Doesn't always charm some.
And the flowers.
Oh, yes, the flowers. I almost forgot. There are flowers also out front. Again, I think these are from Brother and Sister Cotlitz. Is that correct? Okay. Again, I want to thank you for that. The beauty of flowers, for the beauty that we have seated in women. I'm looking for an extra slice of pie. I love y'all. I love you because you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you may have someone here that's lost or on that verge of being accountable before God. Start praying now. Don't wait until they're sick. Don't wait until they're in a hospital or in a nursing home. Now is the time to pray for them, that they'll find the Lord and be saved on His terms.